Welcome to Zuma Worldwide's Health Education Conference Call. This recording is for educational purposes only. The name brand products referenced are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or mitigate any disease or illness. Health testimonies represent the personal experiences of the individuals and should not be viewed as medical advice. Please enjoy today's call.
Once again, I want to thank you for being here tonight. And as always, we appreciate you taking time out of your schedule live to be with us. And this is, as many of you know, a call that we do the first and third Thursday of every single month. The goal is simple. It's to give you some information, education, hopefully maybe many cases will give you some inspiration to enjoy more abundant health. Tonight is going to be a very important topic. In fact, Dr. Melissa and I covered this on a previous call, and it was so good. We wanted to do an encore presentation of this information because it is valuable. And as I mentioned a moment ago, it'll be recorded so you can access it again anytime you want. Let me just make sure before we get started tonight that our scientific advisory board member and also naturopathic doctor who practices right out of the great state of Georgia there and is helping people just like you and I, in fact, not just in Georgia but all over the country, enjoy more abundant health through her practice known as the Olive Leaf. And, of course, Dr. Melissa Bennett is part of our family here at Zuma. She's been with us a long time. I want to make sure she's on the line. Are you there, Melissa?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Hey, loud and clear. Great to have you on tonight. And more importantly, great to be doing an encore presentation for this topic matter you're going to cover tonight.
Yeah, it's so exciting. Well, I'm telling you right now, Ken, my husband got me a pickleball membership, and that's where I am. I'm actually in the parking lot. I was playing for like an hour and a half, and I'm like, gotta go. Went back to my car. I'm doing the call. Then I'm going to go back in and play.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, you sound like you're not too exhausted, number one. But number two, you'll have to talk to me on a different call and tell me all about it because I haven't done pickleball yet. So I'm looking forward to actually trying
for
the first time.
Yeah, it's addictive, and the funny part is like, I don't know, I feel like I'm in some other world because every time I go here, it's the same exact people, like, over and over, because once they start, they become very obsessed with it, and it's kind of weird. It's like you see the same people every single day, so that means I'm here every single day, so I'm one of those people.
Well, it sounds like a healthy addiction.
It really is. It is. I'm going to introduce myself. I know everyone pretty much knows who I am, but I'm Dr. Melissa. I'm a naturopathic doctor, and I just found out this past week, and I don't know if I mentioned this on the previous call, but we have Georgia Health, or actually it's Georgia Clinics. These are all little clinics around Georgia. I think there's like 25 locations, and the owner, Dr. Parikh, has made me their naturopathic director of all the clinics. And it's really an honor. And I don't get paid for it, but just to be able to be on the website and to know that people will be able to get referred over is huge. So I'm very, very happy about that. And
that's awesome. And what a huge honor for you, especially.
Oh, it is. It's so good. And it just shows how naturopathic and chiropractic and medicine, they're kind of merging together now because I think everyone's jumping on the bandwagon of natural healthcare. So they may not know how to do it, but they understand there's a place for it. So I feel like it's very different than like 20 years ago when I first started. So this is great. It is so good. But so tonight, we're going to revisit that topic that I was talking about on the last call and just kind of go over it again because it was a lot of information. And, you know, if you've been watching the news, if you've been scrolling through social media, or if you're just talking to people right now, you're going to find out that many people are using the new GLP-1 medication. They are the thing. They're all over the place, all over the Internet, all over TV, and they're using it for weight loss, which, you know, that's good. I'm not going to go and say it's bad, but I'm just saying that's what we're hearing in the mainstream right now. And it's a trillion-dollar industry, so it's not going away. And like I said, you know, I have patients that have actually used the GLP-1 before they have came to me. And I have one man I'm thinking of right now, and he's lost over 80 pounds, and he struggled with his weight for so many years. And that kind of weight loss is it's a transforming thing for him. So, you know, when you're that overweight, you really need to figure out, I got to do something, because the risk of taking something versus changing your lifestyle, and if you're not going to be able to do that, or if there's some cofactor that's preventing you from doing that, then, you know, medication definitely has a place. And the weight loss that he has is actually changing his life. It's giving him hope, and obviously hope is so important when someone's been struggling. But as a naturopathic doctor, you know, my role is not to tell someone that they should or shouldn't be on any medication. That's not my lane, so I can't drive in that lane. But what my role is basically to ask a deeper question. And why do people gain weight in the first place? And, you know, we have obviously our fast food industry. We have, I think right now, since the 1970s, obesity has grown, I mean, to a point where it's like 40% of the U.S. adults are classified as obese. So it's turned in from a situation that was a concern to an actual illness. So it's kind of went into its own lane, so that it's not just about weight loss. They've actually classified it as, this is an illness and we need to treat it. I mean, that's true, but we also have to look at why. You know, why did it become an illness? And this is just one factor that I'm bringing up. Obviously, people have other factors going on for weight gain. Some people may be eating too much, obviously. But there's other factors like thyroid that can affect weight. Diabetes affects weight. So when I'm thinking about this, I'm not thinking or classifying everyone into one big group of saying, hey, these people are just overeating, because there's so many factors to weight gain. And it's not because people just suddenly lost their willpower. Things just have changed over the years. And now we're just in a place where these changes in our food industry has just caused this epidemic of obesity. So the things that we look for now are highly processed, calorie-dense foods, diets that are full of refined sugars, the seed oils. And speaking of seed oils, I didn't mention this on the last call, but you can go to localfats.com and put in, it's either localfats.com or localfats.org, put in your zip code, and it'll actually tell you of restaurants around your area that do not use seed oil. So that's a great little handy tool whenever you're looking for a place that, and I'll do a talk on seed oils. People maybe don't know what I'm talking about with those, but they're not good. And, you know, we have these ultra-processed foods that spike the blood sugar, spike insulin, and raise inflammation. And then you combine that with this sedentary lifestyle, and we just have less daily movement, unless you're here, like, running around a pickleball court or you have something that you enjoy. A lot of people come home from a hard day at work, they sit down, and they're just in front of their screens, and then they decide they're going to go to sleep, and they basically get on their other screen and sit and scroll and then go to sleep. So it's a pattern that people have developed. And what it does, when you pair that together with poor sleep, less movement, then you have exposure to things that are endocrine disruptors. And all of these things are factors that contribute to weight gain. So, and endocrine disruptors, I'll have to do a talk on that, but those are basically things in your environment that you have control over that you can get rid of, but unless you know about it, you're like, okay, I'm going to have that air freshener or whatever plugged in, or I'm going to have these things hanging up in my car, or my laundry detergent. If you look up laundry detergent, it says it's a hormone disruptor. So there's a lot of chemicals in our environment that affect our hormones, and so therefore it's another way that weight becomes toxic, and it starts, you know, you start gaining weight. But elevated cortisol is what I'm talking about tonight, and that's the cortisol is what we're looking at that promotes that belly fat, and it causes cravings. It suppresses that GLP-1. And it slows down metabolism, and it makes weight gain more likely. So this is where everything needs to change. Like I said, most people think weight gain is about you're eating too much, you're moving too little. And like I said, these are contributing factors. But sometimes people don't pay attention to that hormonal connection. And the hormones have a big play that gets in. It causes a loop. So you've got this hormone, cortisol, and basically having this loop that goes on that contributes to a kind of body that loses weight, but then you'll see these people, they have thin arms, thin legs, but a lot of times they'll carry that weight right in their midsection, which is very, very dangerous. And a lot of times we link this back to that cortisol. And cortisol and GLP-1, so we want to put those two things together. So cortisol, for people who don't know, it's your primary stress hormone. In short bursts, it's really good. It'll save your life. And if you're trying to run from a bear, you're going to need cortisol. And if you're trying to escape a burning car, you're going to need cortisol, right? It's a good thing. And a little bit of cortisol is not a bad thing. But then, you know, it's when it becomes chronic cortisol. Chronic cortisol and staying in that chronic place of heightened cortisol is just very, very bad. So when cortisol stays elevated day after day due to stress and poor sleep and blood sugar swings and inflammation, the body starts acting like it's under a constant threat. It's not escaping the bear anymore. The bear is always there. So you're always in that place where your cortisol is just getting raised. And when you have chronic cortisol, that's when you're going to see high blood sugar, and you're going to see that increased belly fat, and you're going to see your digestion slows down. You don't use the restroom like you should. You're kind of, everything's getting slow, and at the same time, you're speeding up because your cortisol is getting higher, and then you are slowing down internally. So it's a weird combination of things that are going on metabolically in the body. When you're going through menopause, a lot of times it'll disrupt sleep, and there's two things that disrupt sleep for women in menopause. That is cortisol, and it's also your blood sugar. And then it suppresses what we know as TSH, which is your thyroid hormone. It increases cravings, and it breaks down muscle. So it's just a bad thing. So, you know, Ken, have you ever noticed that when people are stressed out and they're not sleeping well, and that's when they crave the most? That's when that stubborn weight gain seems to show up the most, like when they're in that heightened state of stress?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I remember a period of time a few years ago where I was just in a very stressful period of my life, and I can distinctly remember having, you know, cravings for what were definitely not healthy things, often in the evening, too, before I would go to bed. And, I have to admit, back a few years ago, I was a little pudgy around the midsection probably because of that.
Yeah, and you don't. Some people don't contribute it. You'll eat more, you're snacking more, and then you're gaining weight, and it's kind of like a way of. Because another thing about cortisol that people don't realize is, as cortisol goes up, your neurotransmitters like dopamine, serotonin, your excitatory and inhibitory neurotransmitters, they come up to kind of put the fire out. So then people want to get their dopamine up, so they start craving things to raise that dopamine. So it's really a loop. Everything's a loop in the body, so you have to stop the loop. And that's cortisol, so that's kind of its role. Then you look at the GLP-1, and that's where all the buzz, you know, the buzz is around GLP-1. And basically it stands for glucagon-like peptide 1. The GLP-1 basically is that I'm satisfied hormone. So GLP-1 basically slows your stomach down from emptying. It helps you feel full, it reduces cravings, and it balances out your blood sugar. And it basically talks to that appetite center of your brain, which is your hypothalamus, and that's the brain's region and a gland, and it produces hormones that regulate your pituitary gland. So when your GLP-1 works really well, you lose weight, right? And weight loss feels easier. Everything's easier. When it's low, it feels like you're fighting your own body. So what pharma has focused on is drug companies realize something very important. If they can mimic this GLP-1, they could force the fullness and appetite control. And so that's what medications that are being advertised do. So that's what you have. You got these big medications. There's three that are really prominent right now. And they work by overriding your natural signaling system. So it's essentially doing manually what your body was meant to do on its own. And there's some downsides, to this. It's, these medications do help, like I was talking about. But at the same time, we got to be honest about what is the trade-off, right? So potential concerns we're seeing are muscle loss, slowed metabolism, nutrient deficiencies, gallbladder issues, thyroid cancer, rebound weight gain when stopped, which is a huge one, and dependence on the medication. So these things aren't really fixing cortisol, which helps regulate the GLP-1, they are actually replacing the GLP-1. So they don't heal the gut, and they don't really correct the root cause. So, you know, it's kind of like a sad thing because you're doing something that the body should do on its own, but it can't anymore due to whatever reason that I've mentioned. And so it's relying on a medication to help it. My biggest concern about the medications is what happens if people can't afford the medication or they're on it for a long time and then they have to go off of it. And the people that actually do need the medications, like the people that are diabetic, and they can't get access to it because so many people have jumped on the bandwagon. So there's a lot of things on the downside as well as, you know, seeing people lose weight. Sometimes it's not about weight loss, it's about health. So you got to look at that too. So you look at this missing link and you see that that cortisol blocks the GLP-1, but no one ever talks about that. No one's going to go into the doctor. They're not going to sit there and go, oh, by the way, you want this. We're going to write this medication for you. And let me tell you, maybe you can do something else to fix it. It's just not, the system's not set up. It's not the doctor's fault. It's basically they have such a short time with each patient and someone comes in and says they're not feeling well and they're heavy. And they have the answer, right? They're going to give you the answer. They'll just write that script. But you really got to look deeper. Got to look deeper, and that's what I do here is try to figure out why. So high cortisol suppresses that GLP-1 production in your gut. And, again, that cortisol being elevated causes the same thing. It causes digestion to slow down, gut inflammation comes up, and your microbiome balance shifts. And the GLP signaling drops. So even when someone uses a GLP med, the stress signal is still screaming in the background. It's going, hey, there's still something wrong, but no one's addressing that. So, Ken, you know, how many people do you think are just trying to lose weight and they're living in a constant state of stress or survival mode? But they're both trying to do both at the same time. It doesn't work.
Yeah, it's interesting. I love this fact that you're bringing this out because, again, just sadly, all you have to do is spend just a short period of time on either social media or the internet in general, or start watching any, you know, television news programs, and it's hard not to be stressed these days just because there's so much crazy things that seem to be happening in the world. And it's interesting, you're right, a lot of people, they've gotten so used to being in like a stressful state, I think they just find that that's just normal, but they don't connect those dots. That it's that, you know, constant level of stress, whether it's, you know, emotional or it's, you know, physical or it's you know, stress just in general, like you said. I mean, it's a huge factor. I know for me personally, when I went through that stressful period of my life a few years ago, it definitely did some very unique things that I had never experienced before within my own personal health. So I agree. It's sadly something that the vast majority of people are battling. Probably a lot more often these days than ever before.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny because that if you put the food, right, the fast food, all the food, it's just so processed, and you mix that with high stress, and then an obesity epidemic gets created, and then a medication comes to save the day, and it's a great market, right, because everybody's having to use something. And now I'm not saying the people that actually, I want to clarify because I don't want to be like, oh, Dr. Bennett, you don't like meds. That's not true. I went through chemo for 2 years and all that stuff. I know medication. And I know there's medication, but medication, just like supplementation, to me, if you're using it, you want to use it for a purpose. And typically, unless you're using like foundational products, if you're using, like I'll do protocols with patients and I'll set them on something to help balance out their endocrine system or balance out their thyroid or whatever. I don't want to use it forever and ever and ever. I want to use it short term to get to where I'm feeling like that person can do okay and be on foundational products if needed. Same thing with medicine. Medicine to me should be a short-term goal, not a long-term solution. So it's like if you want to go on it and you can get off of it and you've lost your weight, then to me, that is a plus. That's a positive. But if you're going on it and your life plan is to have to stay on it, that to me is just not a good thing. And that's where I'm kind of very, very, more aware that people are all, a lot of people are jumping on it because it's the thing to do. And even there's other companies out there that I've looked at that are even small dose, you know, of GLP-1. But still, the same concept. Are you always going to have to live on this? I don't like that. I like the idea of people maybe using something, whatever that is, to get to the primary goal of health and then being able to hopefully sustain that. That's so important. So there's ways to break that cortisol loop, and there's things that we can do. And, you know, Zoom is a really good place to start because you've got the minerals. And, you know, the rehydrate and mineralize are the, like, the core foundation to getting everything balanced. Because cortisol rises when the body is mineral depleted. So when your body is minerally depleted, particularly with magnesium, it's gonna lead to this increased cortisol. So elevated cortisols will actually prompt increased magnesium excretion. So that means that it can further deplete magnesium levels, and it creates this, again, a cycle of stress and increased cortisol. X2O basically has the calcium, magnesium, the 70 trace minerals that your body needs to become hydrated, mineralized. Therefore, you know, again, helping that cortisol balance out because you're adding in something that's going to help get the magnesium levels balanced, and that helps in turn helps cortisol stay balanced. So we want to definitely have the Zuma X2O. That's just the core foundation for everything. We want to calm inflammation. Inflammation suppresses that GLP signaling. So you want to focus on, you know, good foods, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, healthy fats, and legumes to reduce that inflammation. And you want to exercise regularly. I mean, these are things we know. I'm just kind of preaching to the choir. But you want to have physical activity. That can really help with, especially blood type O's, with that cortisol. They build it up, and blood type O's do really well when they exercise hardcore. You want to maintain a healthy weight. So excess fat in your cells basically stimulates that body-wide inflammation. So we've got to lower the inflammation. So important. We've got to heal the gut because your gut is your second brain. And the brain stem basically, you know, everything's connected there. So if your gut is not healthy, your GLP-1 is not going to be working as well. So that I'm full hormone is produced in the gut. And if it's there, it's in the small intestine, and if everything is out of balance in your gut, then that's going to create a problem, again, just to have the secretion of the GLP-1. So we want to make sure that the gut is in a good place, and your brainstem is another thing we want to focus on, and that has to do with the cortisol and how the brainstem communicates. Anyway, we got the GLP-1 and gut health, so that's really important, and then also the brainstem with the hypothalamus, that whole communication pathway. We have to focus on that. So stress doesn't just make you crave sugar. It disrupts that brain gut-brain loop, and that tells you that you're full. That's why if you support your gut health, you're going to help restore that natural GLP-1, and you're going to help that signaling that goes back and forth between your gut and your brain. And obviously, managing stress is the biggest thing that you can do, and you've got to do things like deep breathing, mindfulness, praying. I mean, all of that is going to help just manage that stress. And then, obviously, not smoking. We know that. And, you know, the other thing is managing certain things like inflammation. And I'm going to name off a couple of things, like Cardiozyme. People don't realize that it's people think about it for one thing, maybe their cholesterol, but they have to always think about inflammation and the cardiovascular support. And that Cardiozyme is amazing. It actually neutralizes free radicals. It supports that healthy blood flow. It minimizes that inflammatory reaction to cellular stress, which is another form of stress. And it just does a lot of things. So people can use that not just for, you know, maybe that cardiovascular reasons, but use it just to lower inflammation. And I think that's really important. We also have probiotics, which is a really great probiotic that has a multi-strain. People should not use just a probiotic that has one strain. That is going to overload their microbiome, and it's going to make it go in the one direction only. And we need multiple strains. And that's what I loved about Zuma with their probiotics, because they made sure it was multi-strain. That's so important to give a good diversity within your gut. And then the X-Biome also supports the gut lining, and it reduces intestinal permeability, which is known as leaky gut. And this all creates a healthy environment for the GLP-1 production. So when your gut lining is healthy and your microbiome is balanced, the GLP production improves and fullness signal returns. And then your metabolism will start working again. So, you know, it's just a good thing that you can do things to help yourself. It's great if you know what to do so that you're able to use the arsenal of products that Zuma has, because you're able to sit there and put it together and actually focus on building that gut and lowering that inflammation through your diet and remineralizing through the X2O. If you put all that together, that's a beautiful plan to actually learn, you know, how to control the GLP-1 naturally, which is really, really important. So, you know, if weight loss has just felt hard and frustrating or discouraging, it doesn't mean that you're broken or that you lack discipline. It could just mean your hormones have been responding to stress. And, Ken, you know, when people think about this too, it's like, you think most people, when they realize their weight struggles aren't a personal failure, it helps them. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like they realize that I'm trying to do all the right things, but nothing's working. It could be that they're missing the cofactors that could help them lose weight. And Zuma provides those things.
No, you're absolutely right. And sadly, you're right. The traditional route that a lot of people take, whether it's following the diet industry and or, you know, running to their doctor for a solution, these things that you're talking about tonight, sadly, are often overlooked or not even brought up. And these are extremely important keys to managing this. I think to myself, I'm like, you know, I feel so fortunate and so blessed that I have the knowledge that I have, and it's thanks to just listening to calls like this with you that, you know, I know what to do. I know how to manage my own health, and without that knowledge, you're relegated to hoping whoever is giving you advice is giving you good advice. But if it's not complete, as you're pointing out tonight, people still get frustrated. They don't get the results they're looking for, and it can be very, you know, frustrating for a lot of people, especially weight. So many people, you know, struggle to lose weight, especially as they get older. You mentioned women in menopause. I mean, that's a tough time for women, especially. And without proper advice, in this case, like you're pointing out, without proper nutritional support of the body, it's an uphill battle. I think probably that's why these GLP-1 medications have become so popular. I think for a lot of people, it's almost out of desperation. They just don't know what to do. And mm-hmm. You know, they're like, well, I'm hearing a lot of buzz about this. Well, sure, I'll spend all that money and I'll inject myself with that and just see if that does something. You know, it's sad, but yeah. You're right. I think that's probably the reason so many people turn to that.
And I don't want to give, you know, doctors, like I said, a bad rap. They're stuck in a system that is just not conducive to healthcare, because they can only see patients 15 minutes at a time, and then they have to build the insurance, and they just don't have time. It's a really good documentary years ago called Escape Fire, and it was about the medical system and how it's just set up to not really help with, I mean, obviously, if you're in an accident, we have the best medical care, but if your body's in an accident, you know, if it's kind of like going in the wrong direction, they have to come up with a quick fix, and this seems to be the quick fix for now. But my goal is to hopefully, even by getting affiliated with Dr. Parikh, is to actually focus on helping those people, because they're prescribing the medication. My job is to help the person say, okay, while you're on that medication, what can you use to help you maintain your weight loss and to learn how to be healthy so you don't have to live on that medication? My only concern is I don't know the long-term effects of that medication. I don't think people know. And that's kind of scary, because we don't know, like, if they do get off of it, if your pancreas just says, hey, I don't want to do this anymore, I'm tired of working, or the GLP-1 says I don't need to come back. Yeah, I don't know. So those are unanswered questions, and those are questions that will only be seen, like everything else, 5 or 10 years down the road, when people are like, oh, you know, see these things on TV where if you've been at Lake Lagoon or whatever, you know, you never know what you're going to see. It's kind of like they'll figure it out years later and say, oh, that was dangerous and shouldn't have done it. But we're in it right now, and the best thing that I can do as a practitioner is to co-manage the patients with their providers and just help them, you know, navigate it, but also give them support, and that's what I do. So I think education is the key in that area for sure.
It really is. And one other thing I'll just toss in here tonight, Melissa, with our brand new Equella product, of course, that is designed to help support people with blood sugar issues. In fact, literally tonight, I 2 hours before this call, I got a testimony sent to me by one of our long-term Zuma members who in just over 3 months took their A1C number down from 6.4 to 5.5 in just 3 months. And think about that.
Wow.
That was over the holiday season, which is even more impressive because most people over the holiday season, me included, are probably consuming a lot more sugar-laden types foods or beverages. And to be able to lower your A1C almost a full point in just over 3 months during the holidays, that really underscores the power of our Equala. And for people who are either struggling with blood sugar and having, you know, to look to other options, I think our new Equala product is a rock star in that category. You know, just in the clinical studies we did on that, 81.8% of the participants saw their fasting glucose return to healthy levels. We had 90.9% improve their HbA1c numbers, A1c commonly known for most people. And then we had almost 70% achieve normal blood sugar, even when some of the standard approaches that we're using had kind of plateaued. So, I mean, you know, again, like you mentioned in this call, a GLP-1 medication is often used too, not just for weight loss, but also for managing blood sugar issues, and we're just getting some amazing stories and testimonies, both on the weight loss, ironically, side of this conversation, as well as the blood sugar control issues. So, yeah, I mean, everything you mentioned tonight is spot on because it's, you know, I think sometimes we get this prescriptive mindset, right? We think, well, I've got this problem, so I need a specific, you know, item to handle it. But as you've brought out tonight, and I love this, is that everything's kind of connected, right? So if your gut health isn't right, we're going to have a problem, right? If you have high levels of inflammation, that's contributing to the problem. If we have blood sugar that's out of control, that's contributing. So it's all kind of interconnected. And if we can manage all these aspects of the health, we can really avoid a lot of the health maladies or being, you know, overweight, or I mean, all the things. I mean, the cortisol connection is huge. And so, again, I'm so thankful that we were able to do this call again tonight because the information is so, so valuable. Well, I know you took time out of your personal schedule tonight to spend it with us to share this information. I really appreciate it. And we did record this call for those of you listening, so you're welcome to access this again. And more importantly, like I suggested at the beginning of the call, we certainly hope you'll share this information with somebody else who you know can benefit from hearing all of this. So, Dr. Melissa, thank you again for the contribution tonight. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome. You have a great night, Ken.
Thanks, you too. And then, folks, thanks again for listening in tonight. Appreciate you being here live. Take care. And remember, first and third Thursday, 2 weeks from today, we got another great call lined up. Hope to hear you then. Take care, everybody.